Good to be with you today. What a wonderful presence of the Lord. And, what a blessing it is for me just to be here periodically. I'm here a couple times a month, generally. And great to see everybody. Turn in your Bibles today to Revelation 17. This could be a long sermon. I spent all day yesterday. Literally all day, and just because there were some things I was interested in, I'll try to keep it within the bounds of reason. I can't make promises. Sometimes I just can't control myself. So, you know that by now, probably. Amen. But the Lord is good, and I'm happy to be here today, happy to be in the presence of the Lord and with many, many good friends. Revelation chapter 17, let's all stand together to honor the word of the Lord. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Excuse me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and for your mercy today. We thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us. We ask you to reveal yourself. God, reveal your plan to the extent that we're able to see it today. Reveal, God, your grace in our lives and your calling in our lives, O God. And deliver us from evil. We pray for a deliverance from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I have been reading in Revelation just recently. That's been a part of my devotion over the last week or two. And I love when I get there. I love all the books of the Bible. Sometimes you get in parts of Leviticus and Numbers. It gets a little rough. But if you begin, the more you do it, the more you begin to see the light in God's Word in those books of the Bible. But especially over the last couple years in light of the whole COVID plague and all that's happened there, I think most of us have thought we're living in the end times. And we hear people say, people in the news say, well, one of these plagues comes every 100 years. But does it happen worldwide? I'm not too sure. They all happen in such a way. And I might say this too, and does it come out of a laboratory? You know, and so it makes us think, and does it, you know, it makes us think that stuff is going on. But it's not just that. It's so much more than that. We see the signs of Matthew 24, more earthquakes, more natural disasters. We see more false prophets. This has been going on and been getting thicker and stronger for the last 50 years. When I first came to the Lord, 1976, and started reading the Bible, and wasn't too long after that I read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and just became so aware of the reality of the Lord is coming. He is coming. That's good news. Somebody say amen. Amen. And a lot of this today is about the evil that is in the world. But I want us to understand that when we know Jesus Christ, when we know him as our Lord and Savior, we have a shield, we have the helmet of salvation, we have the sword of the Spirit, we have a fortress of God around us, and we have his protection in our lives. And when it comes to the 7 years of tribulation, we're not going to be here. Aren't you happy for that? Now, if you think otherwise, go for it. You know, but I believe, and whether you believe, you know, that we'll be a part of the first 3.5 years, or maybe the full 7 years of the tribulation, or we'll be raptured. What prepares you for the rapture? You're not going to be able to get enough canned goods to take care of yourself for 7 years. You know, but what prepares you for the rapture? Watching and praying. Jesus said, pray that you are counted worthy to escape these things. I don't think he would have told us that if it weren't true, if we couldn't escape that 7 year period. We could be surprised, you know, who stays, who goes. I don't know, but I want to know that I'm going, amen? And we want to live that out. But this is not about the rapture, and it's only a part about that tribulation period. What we see here is this scarlet woman, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of wrath came and showed John this great harlot sits on many waters. That is the people of many people and many nations. Tells us that down in verse 15. It says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitude, nations, and tongues. So all different kinds of sorts of people. And so I want us to think about, I don't know, when I began, you know, I've been thinking about many of these things for quite some time. But the more I think about it, the more I study, sometimes the more questions I have. And so I want us to think in that way. So I'm not one of these guys that when it comes to the end times, I've got the answers and this is that. And, you know, this is what I want to be aware of. That's one of the aims I have this morning, is that I want us to be aware of what might happen one way or another way. Be aware of where we are going. Be aware of how quickly it may come, that time of the trumpet of God and the rapture of the church. Be aware that we are living in those last days and ready for the Lord's coming, ready for the evil that will become greater in this world. And so this woman sits upon these waters, many peoples, many multitudes, nations, and tongues, and with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication or adultery, and inhabitants of the earth are made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I want us to drop down in verse 5, because it says, And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the church. I've been trying to figure out the mystery. I'm not sure if I've got it. It's still partly a mystery to me. And so I want us to look at this. But first thing I want us to do, there's a history of Mystery Babylon. Throughout, from the very beginning of the earth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 10 and 11. Genesis chapter 10 and 11. And you know the story of the Tower of Babel. Really, the word tower, it's only in my Bible as a heading. It's not in the Bible, but it says, let's build ourselves a city. Oh, I guess it says and a tower, but the tower together is not there. So it says the whole earth was one language, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That literally means the land of two rivers. So it was the two rivers were the Tigris and the Euphrates, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Now, this is interesting. So many of the buildings of that day, like the pyramids, were made of stones, large cut-out stones. But here, these were made. Now, some of the, there were bricks and also that were made, because that's partly what the Israelites did. But this was totally of bricks and mortar, and they had asphalt for mortar. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, did they have a blacktop company? Or no, they didn't have a black, but they had oil. That's what that asphalt literally is, was crude oil. So that says something to me about that literal land, where it might be. Of course, Iraq is known for its oil. Saudi Arabia is known for its oil and exporting it, and we've become beholden to them again, I guess. So it says they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city whose tower top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built, are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the land of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, one of the things that's so important about it, this is the time of first mention. When you see something in the Bible, you want to, especially as it's in the New Testament, it's so good sometimes to go back and see, where is the first time this is mentioned? Because it will fill in many, many details, and it'll give you the root, very often the very root of the theme that is so often throughout the Bible. Babel literally means confusion. Where is it? With a mix, by mixing. Okay, so Babel is confusion by mixing, putting, having things come together, and there be coming a confusion, and the language was confused. Interestingly enough, just in the previous chapter, there's a man called Nimrod. And it says of Nimrod, he began to be the mighty one on the earth in verse 8 of chapter 10. He was mighty hunter before the Lord, therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And from there, Erech, Akkad, Kelna, in the land of Shinar. And from that land, he went to Assyria. I don't know if that was possibly after Babel became confused, and that happened. And from he went to Assyria, he built Nineveh. That's an, you know, that became an amazingly great city. Rehoboth and Ir and Kalna and various other places. So this was, Nimrod was not just one guy in one city or a guy that liked to hunt deer. He was a hunter. He was a mighty man of the earth, and he was an empire builder. And if you know anything about Babylon, it was literally became one of the first seats of civilization. That's where man first began to write in cuneiform, which was a little better than the hieroglyphics of Egypt. And then you later had the, it became a civilization, and you had Hammurabi, who began to build, you know, make laws and civil laws, and many of the laws of Moses that are in the Bible parallel the laws of Hammurabi. I think Hammurabi had like a golden rule. So all of that stuff began in this Fertile Crescent in that land of Shinar in Babel. But there's something that's not good about Nimrod, and there's something that's not good about Babel. They wanted to be a great city. They wanted to lift this tower up into the heavens. They were building religion. They were building religion. Actually, this religion that they built, they still have today, they still have remnants of that tower. Did you know that? 150 or 180, I forget which it was, feet of rubble on a hill that they have excavated. And they found that this temple was a temple to the zodiac that was for the study of the stars and for the worship of the stars, and to Merodach or Marduk or Bel. They're all the same god. And also the mother of Merodach, Marduk, or Bel, whichever you want to call them, Ishtar or Ashtaroth. And you will see the word Ashtaroth in the Bible, the queen of heaven. Interestingly enough, she was called the mother of God, which was Marduk. It kind of parallels. In some ways, people have attributed a movement of that whole thing that kind of coagulated with the Roman thing with Mary and Jesus. We often talk Mary, the mother of God. Well, she was the mother of Jesus, so she is to be honored. But she is not a deity. Can somebody say amen to that? She is not a deity. And that's one of the main issues that the Protestant church had with the Catholic Church, was the elevation of Mary to as a mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. So you have all this, and this Nimrod, you know what Nimrod literally means? It means rebellion. Isn't that interesting? It means rebellion, or it can mean also the valiant. But it's also important to know that the god Merodach or Marduk, you know what that means? Rebellion. This Tower of Babel, this place of Babel, was a seat of rebellion built by Nimrod, whose name means rebellion, and Merodach, to the god Merodach, that means, what are we rebelling against here? We are rebelling against their creator God, Yahweh. Now, you know, just about the time of Hammurabi, give or take 100 years or so, Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He was called out of that place. And God said, come out of the Chaldees, this place of idol worship, this place that does not honor me. And I will show you a promised land. I will give you a land that will be for you and your descendants. Come out of her. I want you to remember that because it's important. Because there is an evil that is at work. Sometimes we don't see things. There is an evil that is at work in this world that works behind the scenes. You don't always, you don't think of Nimrod, you're the mighty hunter. Oh, he's the rebeller against God. Well, you just have to put a few things together. But there's a spirit behind Babylon. There's a spirit. And what is Babylon? She is a religious system, just like was trying to be built at the beginning of Babel. But that religious system never really stopped. They continued to worship Marduk, Ishtar. There are systems in this world. We all, and one of the great things that I wish us for us to understand, we have to be careful of religious systems. Now, I'm a part of Chapel on the Hill. I'm an Assemblies of God minister. But you have to be careful. What do they believe? Is there sound doctrine? We have 16 fundamentals of the faith. And the first one is that there is one true God. And there is his son, Jesus Christ. And that the scriptures are inspired of God, the infallible rule of faith and conduct. And when things get too added to the scriptures, there can be things that, you know, that are all right, that are fine, you know. I can't have time to go into that whole discussion today. But when we get things too far out of the scriptures, or things are not justified by the scriptures, whether they be actions, directions that we take as a church or in our life or all of those things, then I want to tell you we are walking on dangerous territory. And whenever we begin to build ourselves up, I'm the mighty hunter. Did you see my buck this year, by the way? So, did you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, people should listen to me. And build ourselves up as something great and something wonderful, or try to reach in religion. The essence of religion is making it to God. Building, doing enough works to be good, to be, so God will be satisfied with you and let you into heaven, where he just can't say no to you. I had a friend once, you know, I was witnessing to him. We lived together, Craig Turnbull, he's a fellow wrestler. We were just really good friends, and I'd become a Christian, and I was just trying to share the Lord with him. And he said, well, you know, I'm not worried. God will like me. How can you not like me? He was just a cocky guy. You just had to know him. And I loved him, but how wrong he was. So many people say, well, I'm better than everybody. You know, I'm as good as any, but not better. I'm as good as anybody else. So we measure ourselves by ourselves, and thereby Paul said, we are not wise. We need more. Whoever we are, whatever think we have done in goodness or in mighty deeds or in whatever we have done, we need Jesus as our sacrifice. And, you know, God help me, you know. As I go on in years, I realize, you know, I'm a sinner. You know, I think of the man, the Pharisee that came to honor the Lord and said, well, I pay my tithes, I do this and I do that, and God, aren't you proud of me? And then there was the man that came and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God. I never was and never will be nothing special. But what Jesus has done for me has been all the difference in my life and in your life. We just always need to realize that we have nothing to brag about but Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. And we ought to brag a lot about him. So that is the setting of Babylon. That clock's not right back there. And that's dangerous. You don't want me just to totally ignore things. And then you have this kingdom of Babylon that really never quite stops. It always continues on. It became a parallel kingdom at times where Assyria would take over Babylon, and then Babylon would take over Assyria. You had the old, what's called the old Babylonian Empire, and that was Hammurabi and all that was going on there. And then right after that, Assyria came in and asserted its power. And so it's in the Fertile Crescent, right in that same area there. And they became parallel kingdoms at times. And at times, Assyria would take over Babylon, and Babylon would take over Assyria. Then you have the new Babylonian empire that came in under Nebuchadnezzar, and then later Nebuchadnezzar. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar is the one that led the armies of Babylon against Jerusalem and Judea, and went into Jerusalem and leveled the temple and destroyed the city and burned it with fire and carried away captive most of the wealthy merchants and people and nobles of that land and took them to Babylon, and they were in captivity for 70 years. And you had people like Ezekiel and Ezra and Daniel a part of that situation. And you remember that Daniel's, when he was first the king, the prime minister to the king, and of course he, Meshach and Abednego, didn't eat the king's wine, but they were chosen as prime ministers and helpers of Nebuchadnezzar. And then you had Nebuchadnezzar passing, and there's visions that are in there that speak of the power of Babylon. Remember the statue that the King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of with the golden head and the silver breastplate, and the golden head was Babylon. And then you had Daniel, who had the was called to Belshazzar or something like that, who had the vision, who saw the vision at his drunken party with a finger that wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel." You have been weighed and found wanting in the balance, is what Daniel interpreted that to mean when he was brought forth. And that very night, the Medo-Persians came and destroyed the city. But it was rebuilt, and it became a second capital to the Medo-Persian Empire. And later, Daniel became a prime minister. This guy, Daniel, was amazing. All in the midst of Babylon. They had the many sorcerers and soothsayers. They called them the wise men or magicians of Babylon. And they rose to power. And as a part of the prophecy in Isaiah, before, turn to Isaiah chapter 13 and 14. Babylon hasn't come down on Israel yet. But Isaiah prophesies it. And he also prophesies the destruction of Babylon, just like we read in Revelation 17. And it's in interesting. We'll just read a couple verses. Let's say 9 of and 10 of chapter 13. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. Now notice that, because that's speaking of the end times too. Cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And I will punish the world for its evil. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make the mortar more than rare than fine gold. And it goes on. In verse 19, it says, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' prize, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. But wild beasts of the earth will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls and ostriches." And it goes on to talk about how desolate that place will be. Now, what's interesting, you go to 14, he carries on with prophecies against Babylon. And verse 3, it says, "Come pass in that day, the Lord will give you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from hard bondage in which you were made to serve." He's talking to the people of Israel, that you take up a proverb against the king of Babylon and say, "How has the oppressor ceased?" And if you look on to verse 12, then you begin to see scriptures about Lucifer. Lucifer. So he's bringing the king of Babylon, and he's using him as a type of Satan himself. The deep evil and wickedness of the spirit of Babylon is found in Satan himself. And I want us to realize today, so many people, you think everything can be rehabilitated. Everybody can be rehabilitated. And I'm not saying that Jesus can't save the worst of sinners. He can. He definitely can. But let's admit that there's people that don't want that. And that there is evil in the world that must be fought against, that must be stood up against. At times, like many people today in this world, we become martyrs. Christians become martyrs to that evil. And so, you can go on and read it. And the great sin of Lucifer, "You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend from the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Remember what Babylon was doing with that tower? Bringing themselves up into the heaven, exalting themselves. This is the sin of Lucifer. And it can be the sin that men take part in and assimilate to themselves. "I will be like God." You know, pantheism is essentially that. All things are one thing, and that one thing is God. And so, since I'm part of the all things, I can be God. You know? If you look at Star Wars, some of the theology of Star Wars, and that's kind of thinking is being brought about, the Force. I am one with the Force, and the Force is one. You see, remember that statement? Don't believe everything you see in the movie theater or on your TV screen. Can you say amen to that? Turn with me to Jeremiah 50 and 51. You have Jeremiah now prophesying against Babylon. After she has ransacked Jerusalem, after she has carried away captives, and he's left there. And I want you to notice that both 50 and 51, we won't take much time with this, but there's something that he's saying to them. And we'll just start out with in chapter 50. It says, "The word of the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set a standard, proclaim and do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is ashamed. Merodach, the same god, is broken in pieces. Her idols are humiliated. Her images are broken in pieces." God, this is what God is going to do. He has the victory in the end. "For out of the north comes a nation against her." That was the Medes and Persians. "And no one shall dwell therein," or he shall make the land desolate, "and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and the children of Judah together with continual weeping. They shall come and seek the Lord their God, and they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten." That's what happened, basically. They said, we'll keep your covenant, and we'll not worship idols anymore. And you know, once they came back from Babylon, they never set up idols again. No more high places. I mean, a lot of other issues. Didn't receive Jesus, but no more idols. Look at verse 8. "Move," it says, this is the Lord speaking, "move from the midst of Babylon, get out of the land of Chaldeans, and be like the rams before the flocks." If you look at verse 6 of 51, this whole two chapters, there's a lot in the Bible about Babylon, and we don't have time to talk about it. Look at verse 6 of 51. It says, "Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon has a golden cup in the Lord's hands and has made the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine." Notice the same language of Revelation. "Therefore the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her. Perhaps she may be healed." But I want you to know, three times in those two chapters, God says to his people, get out of Babylon. Flee. Don't stay there anymore. I think he's still saying that today. He's going to say that when she, let's just turn to Revelation 17 and 18. He's going to say that when she destroyed. God has a purpose. He is going to destroy a seat of evil in this world that has always existed, that has been the nemesis of God's people. Israel is the nemesis of Christians today. It is something that is at work in this world. It is a false religion. It is a false narrative on who God is, and many of the roots of many religions today are a part of that. One of them, I believe, is Islam. I'm going to say something while it's on my mind right now, because so that you won't misunderstand, and I really mean this. God loves Islamic people. He wants us to love Islamic people. Some of them may be terrorists. Some of them may be just nominal people of Islam, nominal Muslims. There's all kinds of denominations that they have, just like Christians have. But he loves them. He loves their souls. He wants to save them and redeem them. And he's doing that more today than ever before. He did that in Afghanistan, and all kinds of people came to the Lord. And now many of those people are being martyred. But one of the religions that is rooted in this Babylon spirit is Islam. And the more I study my scriptures, now I want you to understand, I study the scriptures, I look at what's happening today. When we look into Revelation chapter 17 and 18, I've always have thought, and I haven't abandoned this thought. Most of you that have listened to teaching on end days will understand and know that many Bible scholars over the years have said that when John is speaking of Babylon, he's speaking of Rome. And there's good reasons for that. There's good reasons for that. And we'll talk about them. But I've been reading a few things and thinking about a few things and a few ad scriptures that may think that there's another Babylon, mystery Babylon, as a city. I'm not sure exactly. You know, one of the things that we read about Rome and or about this mystery Babylon, she will be a city on seven hills. Well, you may not know this, or maybe you haven't thought about it. I just looked it up the other day. There are a lot of cities that are built on seven hills. Staten Island is built on seven hills. Washington, D.C. is built on seven hills. Rome is built on seven hills. But also, Mecca is built on seven hills. And there are a few others as well. But so I wonder, I just want us to think, I want us to be aware. The spirit of Babylon, it's a spirit of false religion and commercialization, materialism, where materialism becomes God. I want you to think about a few things as we read through some of these scriptures again here today. Let's look, go back to Revelation 17. This is the judgment of the harlot. There's the religious end, the spiritual end, and then there's the commercial end, the materialistic end. Most of chapter 18 is about the commercial end. Most of chapter 17 is about the spiritual or religious end. This was a woman that sat, whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. So there was this ongoing relationship. This has always been. They are drunk with the wine of her fornication. And notice that it says, so he carried me away into the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on scarlet beast, which has full of name of blasphemy, seven heads and ten horns. Of course, that beast is the beast that the Antichrist will be a part of. It's the seven heads, or the seven nation was the ten kings, okay? And it is the beast that he rules over. It's a governmental system. And this beast will have an influence at the very least, and at the very most, he will totally rule the whole earth. So I'm not sure to what extent that rule will be, but he will at least have a large influence over all the earth, and she rides on the beast. Now that could be Rome, because the Catholic Church, you know, is many, many nations. Of course, The Assemblies of God has churches in all kinds of nations. You know, I'm not sure every nation, but a greater part of them, 80% of them. I mean, we've done our best to preach the gospel around the world. So that the Catholic Church has that. And now also the World Council of Churches could be that scarlet woman, because that includes the Catholic Church and all churches that are a part of that World Council, which is a great number. Today is a day of globalization. You know that? We got the World Council of Churches. We got the World Health Organization. We've got the World Monetary Bank. And I forget what the other one is that goes along with the World Monetary Bank is supposed to be just for the help of smaller nations, for investing of smaller nations. And the other bank is an overseer for the stabilization of the world economy. And so you have all these things that are being globalized. They are thinking these days of a reset of currency. Of course, you may know that. I just read an article the other day in the World Financial Forum about a gentleman that suggested different ways that we could all go to a digital currency. Did you know the Scrubgrass power plant is building Bitcoin? Isn't that amazing? It's one of the biggest ones in America, if not the biggest ones. I go to Bible study with a guy that works there and is a foreman there. Bitcoin and all of this stuff, we are moving quickly towards this time of the rapture and the 7 years of tribulation. And one of the things that we believe, according to the Bible, is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imminent is the idea that he can come back to catch his church away at any time. There's nothing holding him back from right now and the tribulation, us entering into the tribulation period. Of course, I'm not planning on entering. I'm planning on going out of it. But why this is important is that we see these things happening in the world, and we are in the midst of the world, are we not? We're in the midst of dealing with religious systems. We're in the midst of dealing with world and global commercial aspects that affect the supply chain, that affect all these things. And at any time, we might have a reset of all of these things. So anyway, here is the harlot. She's sitting and she's riding upon this beast. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet. She's adorned with gold. And she has all of the fineries and the royalties, royal wardrobe, rather. And yet, she's full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. She's a harlot. If you go back through the Old Testament again and again, harlot has to do with idolatry. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Do you know that according to Open Doors World Watch, last year Christians were detained or killed for their faith, and more churches were attacked or closed than the year before? In the past year, 360 million Christians, or one in every seven believers around the world, suffered significant persecution for their faith. Every day in 2021, 16 believers were martyred. Did you realize that? 6,000 people in this world in 2021 were martyred for their faith. There was a 24% increase in Christians killed for their faith. Many of them in Muslim countries, Islamic countries, and not all, of course, because there's other countries, other religions that persecute Christians. Did you know that the world Christian population is 2.3 million? That's all denominations. You know, some of that, you wonder if they're really Christian. Did you know the world Muslim population is 1.8 billion? They're right behind us. And they have power throughout this world. And it's seated in Babylon, the Babylon spirit, the moon god that was first the religion that Muhammad derived Islam out of, and then derived it from Christianity and Judaism, and it became a monotheistic religion rather than idolatrous religion. Still an idol religion, in my opinion, but so it wasn't a worship of many gods anymore. And when you begin to understand what is in the Quran about Christians, of course, the hatred of Christians and the hatred of Jews is very much a part of what is in the Quran. There is also the jihad, is a holy war. That never really stops. People say, well, we don't practice jihad, but the whole idea is world domination. That's a Babylonian idea. That's a Babylonian idea. I'm not saying this to say that Islam and is the harlot, but it sure seems it's going to be a lot a part of it, or it's going to be either a part of the World Council of Churches or united with some kind of faith thing, or it will be dominant. Did you know that the Islam religion believes in a Messiah coming called the Mahdi? And that Mahdi is supposed to be like our Messiah, but he fits the role of everything we see about the Antichrist. I've read a book, and I haven't read quite the whole thing, so I'll say I'm reading a book by Walid Shabbat. He was a Palestinian terrorist who had a Christian mother, Islamic father. He's got roots in both of, and he wound up going Islam first and becoming a terrorist, and then he got converted. But it just has opened my eyes to the realities of what's going on in Islam today. Again, when I say God loves people that are Muslims, and he wants us to love them too. So, but at the same time, there is a Babylonian spirit. There is an evil spirit behind that system of religion that speaks very much, in my thinking, of the woman that rides. What if we've always thought of the, and it could be still, I don't know, the World European Economic Union, we've always thought of that being the 10-nation confederacy, but they have more nations than 10 right now in that. And so what if the 10-nation confederacy winds up being an Islamic confederacy that borders all the borders of Israel? What if Turkey, which was the old Ottoman Empire and had its rising and falling and could have a rising again? Do you know that the nation, second largest army in the world is from? It's not China. It's not Russia. It's Turkey. That's an amazing fact, isn't it? And Turkey, you know, Turkey has those Meshach, you know, and Tubal. They have places that they can say, like some people have about Russia, you know, Meshach was Moscow and Tubal was Tubalisk, that is, and that very well could be. I'm not saying one or the other. Please understand me. But I'm saying today, let's broaden our horizons, because sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And I hate that. Some things you know, some things you know, you don't know, some things you don't know, and some things you don't know, you don't know. And it's that last one that always gets you. There is evil in the world today. Let's go on. I'm running out of time. Yeah, I'm out. So, but I want to bring us in to this idea that there is a rising of religious evil in this world, and it can come at us in all ways. It might not come at us. We have very few Muslims in our area. We may not come in contact, but there are other false religions, and Satan wants to use them all to knock us off our game. Today, it is more important than ever to be faithful to the true faith and not get caught up in some junk. I have seen people that have got caught up in. I know people that have left a faith that they had for Jehovah's Witnesses. I know people that left a faith that they had for that were Pentecostals, you know, and were a part of this church for a long time, and went back to Catholicism. And I'm not saying that people that go to Catholic churches and are Catholic can't be saved. I believe many of them know some wonderful Jesus-loving Catholics. God bless them. And once the assemblies of God begins to leave the foundation of the infallible scriptures, once they begin to leave the importance of the deity of Christ and those values of the 16 fundamentals, once they begin to leave those, I'll say goodbye to the assemblies of God just like that. Because our loyalty should be to our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? And to the Scriptures as inspired of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He is coming again. And we should look forward to that great day. And these are the things that we believe, and we need to stay with them. Stay true, stay faithful, stay online, stay aligned with what God has for us. Okay. Let's just jump down here and read some of this scripture and we'll close out. There's a revelation, and I'm not going to get into it all, but I think it's good for us to read it. The angel said to me, "Why did you marvel?" Verse 7. "I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, that has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit to go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains which on the woman sits." Rome or Mecca. "There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and others have not yet come." Some say that is beginning with Egypt, and then Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And then, of course, the last one would be Rome. "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet." So these don't exist yet. "But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And they will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them." Can you say amen? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Let's say that again. Those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's what I want to be called, chosen and faithful. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast will hate the harlot, which make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now notice that, this beast, that's what, why part of it we know there's a religious or spiritual part that is the woman, the harlot, and there's the commercial part, because the kings hate her. The kings love the commercial harlot. They love that city. They love that commerce. That's what makes them rich, and that's where they thrive. But the beast will make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw is that great city which reigns over the kingdom of the earth. I can't help but to think, though, that in spite of all the other things I've said, that John in his mind is thinking, it's got to be Rome. It's got to be Rome. So that's where my mind is. A little confused. Not really confused, but open to possibilities of how God might either unite them, make one or the other.
Chapter 18. We're really getting close, trust me. After these things, I saw another angel come down in heaven, having authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, Babylon is the great is fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I mean, you talk about, this is a commercial center. This is a New York City type place. This is a London type place. This is a major place of commerce. And I have heard another voice from heaven. Now listen to this. If there's anything I want us to get, it's this. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. I want God to forget my iniquities. Don't you? Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow. What was that queen's name? The queen of heaven? Ishtar. Ashtoreth. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will utterly burn with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And it goes on and tells of the commerce and how the wailing of the fall of Babylon. Verse 21, then the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it to the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, magicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more, nor craftsmen or craft shall be found in you any more. The sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by you your sorcery, all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues in one day. You know that the ancient Babylon was taken over by the Medes and Persians, but it still continued to be a city. Part of the city was destroyed. It still continued to be a city. And it pretty much existed as a city. As time went on, it just began to deteriorate and deteriorate until in roughly the year 200 AD, 200 years after Christ was born, people just moved out of it, and it became a ghost town. It became a dwelling place for jackals and so forth. In the 80s, they have rebuilt it some. I'm not quite sure now what it's like. There may be a rebuilding of a whole new Babylon, but what that will be a commercial center and a religious place. I'm not quite sure about many of these things. All I know that there's a deep-seated evil in this, in its commerce, and in its religious aspect. And the angel says, come out of her. Come out of her. What is Babylon but a religious system? What is Babylon but a type of this world that says, come, eat of my delicacies. Come. Babylon is nothing more than the commercials we see constantly on TV. That's why I watch tape programs. Recorded programs. Skip all that stuff. All of those things. And, you know, if you just look at commercials since the 80s till this day, and what type of commercials? I mean, there's commercials for all things that you never would have thought years ago would, and it's been so commonplace, we don't even think of them anymore. I don't even want to mention them. Just commercials. And that's supposed to be PG. Or G. I don't know what they, you know, if they put it on. Come out of her, my people. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world or all that is of the world. For all that is of the world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, is not of the Father. It's so easy to love stuff, isn't it? To love the stuff that Babylon makes. Until it breaks. That's right, Paul. Until it breaks, then you hate it. Yeah. Oh, I need this, I need that, I want this, I want that, and it never, never ends. My friends, don't let Babylon get in you. Don't always, you know, let it come, let it go. It's nice to have stuff, but when it goes, you got to let it go. No sense crying over that stuff. Can somebody say amen? The commercial stuff, and no sense getting involved in the junk of the religious Babylon. Stay true to the Lord. Stay faithful to Him. Love His Word. Be in His Word daily and be in prayer. Chapter a day keeps the devil away. Amen? And it'll keep you true to the Lord. Walk with Him. Hear His voice. Let Him guide you. Stay out of Babylon and keep Babylon out of you. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to, first of all, open the altar up. If you have any need today and you'd like prayer, I know that there are people here that will pray for you. I'll be glad to pray for you. We just want to want you, for any reason, if you're in need of prayer today, to come and just approach the Lord. You know, so often it's just too easy to say, I don't need that or whatever. But listen, we just all need to come to the place where we say, I need you, Lord. I need you for this thing. I need you for healing. I need you for just your presence in my life. I need you. Thank you, Lord. Today is not a time. These days are not a time to cool down in our relationship with the Lord. these days are not days that we should just think that we know everything there is to know, and we've gone about as far as we can go and say, well, I'm just going to take it easy. No, we shouldn't put pressure on ourselves to be more than what God has called us to be, but we should always be reaching out. We should always be walking with Him. We should always want an open ear to His voice, an open eye to His Word. If you've been drifting, if you've been cooling, maybe a spirit of Babylon, and maybe you've made the things of this world more important than the things of heaven. If that's what you've been thinking about, and maybe the Spirit of the Lord has been dealing with you today, you've had some battles, you've had some disappointments possibly. God is here to renew His faith. You see, in the end, He gets the victory. He destroys the system. He destroys the spiritual system, the false spiritual system, and the commercial system. He's not against commerce. He's against ill-gotten commerce. He's against thieving and cheating. And He's calling you today, saying, remember, that's not what the world's about. If either of those are you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want this just to be between me and the people that are sensing this in their life. And you've been cooling down. You've been paying more attention to things that are not of God than the things that are of God. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to begin again. I want a new start. We can do that over and over again. If that's you, raise your hand today. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just want to pray now for those that are raise their hands. Father, in Jesus' name, renew and refuel these folks that raise their hands in the name of Jesus. New beginning. Today is a new day. We're closer to the day of Your coming. Could be today, Lord. Even so, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We don't want You to hesitate, Lord. Lord, we want You to come. We long for Your coming, Lord. Renew that faith. Renew that sense of urgency. Make us awake in Your love. Awake to Your passions, O God. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Cause us to be chosen and faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name.